Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life.
Hey everybody, it's John Duperin from Project Forgive. How are you doing? You are in the right place for the highest level of conversation to feed your soul, American Meditating with Sister Jenna. Stay with us. Everyone, welcome to America Meditating Radio. That was the late and great Marvin Gaye, and I don't even want to say what's going on. We know what's going on. It's our souls need serving, our souls need light, our souls need a remembrance. We need to somehow get back to a place of divinity and grace, you know, and it's just our assignment, it seems. It seems that this is the assignment that our country has been given at this time, our lives have been given at this time. But what I'd like to do before we go any further in our conversation today is to just hold a moment of silence and send our good wishes and vibrations to, I would say, everyone in Las Vegas, but this is for our whole country right now. So let's just take a minute and send our pure feelings to our country and everyone that's affected from the Las Vegas shooting. I just wanted to keep it so sacred this morning and to feel as if we were sending our pure feelings to all the lives that have been lost and to all the anxiety and the fear that's swirling in our spirits and to the need to understand where is God at this time and how we can access God. And I do believe He is definitely present. There is no doubt in my mind. The question is, are we willing to bring His presence more? Are we willing to give up familiar ways of being, familiar patterns of existing, that it has pushed Him out? It has pushed Him out so much that we don't even know who we are anymore. We don't know how to behave. We don't treat each other with grace and respect and dignity and love and kindness. So we're at a time that, as ugly as it gets, we are being shown the need to come back to a place of goodness, because if it continues in this way, and for however long, we have to continue experiencing this as the norm for our country and how much of an influence our country has on the rest of the world, it's it. It's done. You know, and Oprah shared a text today, and it was from Psalm 61:2, and it says, from the New King James Version, it says, "From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And basically, we're being called to become a whole lot higher than we are in our interpretation of ourselves and our interpretation of each other. And I say this over and over again, that is it love or is it tragedy that will move us into a season of change? And the change that I'm speaking to is the change of dignity and grace and respect and power and beauty and a sense of self-security and self-worth and sovereignty of your spirit. What would it be like if you were to begin to walk around in the world where everyone around you just carried their own personal self-respect, their own personal sense of self-worth, and they were just grateful? They were grateful to have become an existence, an image, a narrative, a story, a presence of God's grace and beauty and divinity. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. Stay tuned. We're going to have a heart-to-heart conversation with Pamela Horton. And before we get Pamela on the line, I'd love to play The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, just for us to come into a place of really deep presence, not to go too much in the past, not to go too much in the future, but let us just be present just for this moment so that the vibrations of love that is innately sitting in the soul will come to surface.
As we saw, and as you can verify when you look up into the sky tonight, there's objects out there and there's space. It's basically what the world consists of. And the two dimensions are within you. And humans have become lost in one. So we are here to realize that dimension. Cannot be realized in the future. It cannot be made into an object of a search, because it's here now. The moment you're looking for it, you create a future. Now, what is future? It's a thought form. Apart from that, there is no future except as a thought form. It cannot come except as now. So it's now the arising of space consciousness, or the realization of space consciousness is here now. For example, it happens when you acknowledge not only the words that you hear. Acknowledge simply means pay attention, notice. Just as noticing here, there are two dimensions just the same as when you look up into the sky at night, you will find there are two dimensions. There are the words here, and there's a silent space or stillness in which the words happen.
Beautiful and deep, because that's where we need to be now, in a place of deeper understanding and meaning, where we can really treasure the power of existence and the power of now. You're listening now to America Meditating Radio, and I'm your host, Sister Jenna. At the beginning of the show, we held a moment of silence with background beautiful sacred music by Namu to send the souls off, the over 59 that have left today. Their good wishes, to pray for them, to send our light and peace as they travel. To the hundreds that are still in the hospital, struggling to stay alive, we're sending them our pure feelings and pure wishes. And to a nation that's been grappling with one thing after another, over and over and over, and every day, there is a consistent vibration coming through the ethers and through the media of a lack of hell, of division, of hate, of awakening, of hope, of love, of an opportunity, of a chance, and maybe even of gratitude. Today, Pamela Horton joins us, and she's an international cultural engagement specialist, expense management leader, and the founder of Maven's Connections. Pamela and her team guide employers to increase their employee performance, retention, recruitment, and profit margins by increasing their employee engagement. Pamela is a devoted wife and mother, a life enthusiast who hosts her own human resource podcast called Calling the Real You. She serves on the Bradenton Workplace Wellbeing Task Force and is an advisory board member for the Foundation of Possibilities, and is a board director member for the Sarasota Manatee Human Resource Association. Today we welcome Pamela Horton to America Meditating. Welcome, Pamela.
Thank you, Sister Jenny. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, you are a very busy, successful entrepreneur, and I would definitely love for you to share with our listeners the source of your inspiration. You know, what got you into working with business, and to, you know, encourage even the employees to be also geared towards their own personal success.
Before I do so, I have to make mention, I wanted to thank you for the moment of silence. What a gift you were able to give us all. And you have a beautiful voice for radio. It's very soothing, and I thank you for that as well, because it helped me to dial in to where we wanted to take the conversation today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What started me on my journey was simply living life and being caught up in what needed to happen, what I wanted to happen, and what could have happened. Years ago, being in my early 20s, I had made some decisions that weren't really the best. In hindsight, they were the best, but they weren't the best at the time. And I was extremely stressed and became very burnt out, and would look to work as a source of escape versus looking into myself as a source of escape. And when I would go to work, I would be performing at my best, but then I would look around at my colleagues and supervisors who were just as stressed and burnt out as I was, and none of us were doing anything about it. None of us knew how to do anything about it. And what ended up suffering was not only our work, but also our relationships at home and with ourselves. And so my why began to develop to become a better version of myself than I was the day before. And I began doing that by reading and meditating. And what I would read was a combination of New Age books as well as the Bible and A Course in Miracles. And through my journey and learning, I began to apply the principles of all of the modalities that I began to study into my own life and lessened my burnout, lessened my anxiety, lessened my victimhood, and was able to turn everything around by focusing on my language. And then I began to help others do the same.
That's beautiful, because I think a lot of us get so caught up on, or maybe we get caught up in our action mode, and we sometimes even forget perhaps that success really is also a feeling energy. It is like a place within you that feels like you yourself, internally, you feel like you've realized that you have more to give or more to become, because a lot of us have been designed to believe success is a lot of cars, money, house, clothes, you know, the image. But I do believe that the success that I think we really need to focus more on now is the sex internally, and to what extent I live a life of gratitude and appreciation. You were able to find that and keep gratitude in your life. Please speak to that.
Yeah, I believe the most important work that any human being can do is the work that we do on ourselves and creating a relationship with your higher power, whoever that may be for whoever's listening. In fact, I don't believe in working to acquire. I believe in working to become. And when you are able to find gratitude in the worst case scenario and you're able to vibrate at a higher level, which will bring about more of what it is that you are appreciating. So I'll share a story. There was a speech that was given, and unfortunately I cannot remember the woman's name at this point, but she was saying she had lost her husband, and he was young, and she had young children, and she was devastated, as anyone would be. And through her process, she learned to be grateful for the fact that her children were not in the car, because when he was driving his car, he had an aneurysm and drove off the road and had died. And she found she had found gratitude in the fact that her children were not in the car along with him. So by the power of having choice in any given moment, and we have the choice again and again and again and again to choose gratitude in the worst case possible scenario. And when you think of it that way, when you open up your life with questions versus statements and judgments or assumptions or conclusions, when you're able to ask a question or find the solace in a very bad situation, you open yourself to vibrate higher and begin to appreciate the other things that are surrounding that same scenario.
I get that. It's so interesting how challenging stories can somehow still bring us to some sort of a meaning or understanding with, you know, our own inner light. According to a 2016 report by the Society of Human Resource Management, 88% of U.S. employees reported overall like satisfaction with their job, and they make it the highest level of satisfaction, especially over the last decade. What do you think is responsible for that?
A combination, and great question. I want to actually add a second percentage there at the end of what I'm about to share here. It's a combination. It's a combination of personal accountability and responsibility with the alignment with an employer's mission and the job description that someone is actually providing. So when someone has an individual responsibility and accountability to their own happiness, not relying upon external forces, not relying upon their boss, not relying upon their colleagues, not relying upon the commute to work or whatever the case may be that they're looking at, but are able to actually, again, go within and find happiness from their thought process. In fact, you had mentioned the success earlier. My definition of success is when you can think, speak, and act congruently. So if you're thinking that you want to be healthy, and you are saying you are a healthy person, but sneak through McDonald's drive-thru, you are incongruent. And therefore, you are not successful in what it is that you are stating that you want to be happy or successful about. So if an individual is able to take responsibility and accountability for their own thoughts, statements, and actions, that leads to their job satisfaction combined with the responsibility, mission, and alignment with the company that they are working for. The statement or the percentage that I wanted to offer up is that 70% of American employees are disengaged from their job, from their work, which leaves a whopping 30% of employees that are engaged. And the difference is those that are engaged absolutely take full responsibility for their lives. They take responsibility for what it is that they are doing every day. They take responsibility for being kind to themselves and not beating themselves up when they fall off a wagon, whether that be a spiritual wagon, a meditation wagon, a motivation wagon, a health regime wagon. But when they take full responsibility and are able to look at every situation and every individual that they're experiencing as a blessing, then they become engaged and their lives change.
I like that. And it changes for the better because then there's less of that intensity and stress, and that stress, how it creates the anxiety and the job burnout, which really makes us make so many mistakes and then end up having to keep, you know, fixing it and then putting it together. Waste of money, waste of time, right?
Absolutely. And the two primary guiding things that are driving that, and this is not measurable inside of a corporation, are shame and fear. You can't measure a person's level of shame and fear, but once we are able to access that and sit with it as an individual and just let it wash over you and then through you, not trying to grasp it, because I know your audience is very savvy and very knowledgeable on these topics.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not grasping at what it is that you are trying to resist, you are allowing source, or again, your higher power or God, come through you and work through you in very magical, empowering, powerful ways. And that incorporates everything.
Well, let's talk about empowerment, shame and blame and all of those things. Fear, it's a vibration that's very much, it's so amplified right now. It's incredible. Any tools that you might offer that you have applied when you've had your moment of shame, when you've had your moment of not feeling very secure, or you're afraid, give us one or two things that you've offered your own life that you've said, well, at least now I can breathe a little bit better.
My two favorite tools, number one, is paying attention to my body language, my body posture, and my facial expression. Because our bodies are a perfect messenger for our communication with ourselves, our source, and our higher essence. And when we're able to tap into what it is our body is doing, it tells us exactly where our state of mind and our state of being and where our heart is residing. And so as soon as I notice that things are off kilter, or I'm frustrated or feeling that fear or anxiety of a certain situation, I tap into my body language, my body posture, and my facial expressions, and I ask, what's going on here? What do I need to take a look at? And I simply sit with it. And the answer may come immediately, or it may come in a day or two. But by staying with that, the thought of just checking in with my body is a very life-giving tool.
It's practical. It's practical.
Very, very practical. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second thing is, if I'm unable to do that, and I notice that my mind is split, or I'm separated from my source or my mission, or I'm not in alignment, I actually create the statement, I choose joy, and I reside in that. And I do everything in my power to just kind of sit with that and make and state the statement over and over again. I choose joy, because your mind is magnificent and will do everything in its power to make you right, no matter what. And this is neuroscience, positive psychology. This is the work that we do and bring into companies. When you choose joy, you are telling your mind what you want, and it will comply, versus your mind running the show. And when you choose joy, you immediately elevate joy in your life, and you immediately elevate your vibration. And therefore, fear washes away. The anxiety washes away. The shame and guilt wash away. It's an amazing, amazing tool. And it takes repetition, because as human beings, that's how we learn. That's how we absorb information, is through repetition, mantras, so to speak. And so those are the two best things that I would like to offer up today to everyone.
Pat, absolutely perfect. You host a human resource podcast entitled Calling the Real You. Could you tell us a little bit about it?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. It's it is a joy for me to share human resource professionals. So it is a human resource podcast. People can find it by calling the real you dot simplecast dot F as in Frank, M as in Mary. And we're a weekly guide that help people align the people, performance, and profits within corporations. We highlight the latest techniques based in science and research with real-life experiences and case studies. And so, therefore, we're able to explore what influences employee behavior, which is a huge key factor for success in a company, whether it is employee success through health, well-being, and then, of course, profit margins.
Beautiful. Wow. And who are some of your guests on the show?
We've had individuals like Kelly Casau from the Debbie Ford Institute, John Burgos from the Beyond Ordinary show. We've also featured Kelly McNellis from Women for One. She's the author of Embrace Your Messy Brilliance. We've had Lisa Zimmerman. Oh, thank you. She's awesome. We've had Christine Carlson from the author of Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. wonderful, wonderful, empowering guests.
Oh, beautiful. I love them. How can our listeners get some more information about you?
Several places. I'm a huge fan of, and this might surprise most people, I actually enjoy social media and connecting people with people there. So people, you're all invited to join me on Facebook, which Pamela is spelled with two L's, Pamela Horton, as in Horton Hears the Who. You can also join my Facebook page, Calling the Real You, and that's written all out in one word. Also find me on LinkedIn, Pamela, again with two L's, Horton. Instagram at Pam G. Horton and Twitter at Pam G. Horton.
Pamela Horton, you are truly a delight. And could you leave our country a pure wish, a blessing from your heart?
Yes. I ask that we all be surrounded by the white light of protection. I ask that our egos be swept aside and that we operate from a pure heart. I ask that we embrace what is true and real, and that our hearts of stone be released and be replaced with a heart of flesh.
That was beautiful. Pamela, thank you so much for joining us and lots of good wishes.
Thank you, and the same to you and all who are listening. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Take care. Be safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Beautiful spirit, wasn't she? So there's so much that we can bring into the corporate dimension and really begin to emphasize a value-based way of living. Even if we're in the corporate, it's time for us to believe that bringing in our good, whether it's gradual, doesn't have to be intense, doesn't have to be overnight that you do it, but little by little, continue to believe that your good deeds and your power of good will definitely become a contributor to our world. Before I end our show, we want to invite our wonderful Diane Tillman from A Better Parenting Guide. And in the time that we're in, I think we really want to keep hearing some tools that can help us to guide our spirits during times where we need to amplify a little bit more of a positive behavior, and especially for our children to be able to learn more about what's going on. So here's Diane Tillman, Building Positive Behavior.
Good morning. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting. This morning, I'd like to take up some of the themes in Chapter 6 on Appreciation and Building Positive Behaviors. Appreciative and affirming responses feel good, and they create a caring atmosphere, be it at home or at work. They don't need to be used all the time, but they're a nice part of everyday life. Some of these words might be good, nice one, gorgeous, brilliant, well done, terrific. And often we put the word good in front of what we want our children to notice, such as good thinking, good figuring it out, a good catch. So these quick affirmations of a person's effort with an appreciative glance or smile signal the importance of a task, the importance of a behavior, and add positive energy to a relationship. But sometimes children may not believe that the praise they're receiving is genuine, even if it is a child with fairly good self-esteem can believe great job. Whereas other children without good self-esteem or simply who have not received much praise in their life may not believe the same praise. So specific praise gets along around this difficulty. And it's also an excellent form of feedback. Specific praise is simply describing what you see in an appreciative tone of voice, such as an appreciative for the age of the child. It might be gushing for a four-year-old. It might be matter-of-fact for a teen. It might sound like you remember to use please. You buckled your car seat all by yourself. Wow, you pulled up those sheets all the way up and the bedspread too. You remembered to put all your things by the door for tomorrow. Great. You came in all by yourself without me having to call. That was a big help. Clean countertop. It took a lot of thinking to come up with such a respectful solution. I appreciate you putting down your iPad the second your aunt walked in, without even a glance from me. Thanks for running out so quickly to help me bring in the groceries. That was a double hug. Your hard work on that essay really got you that grade. So descriptive is good. It's verifiable. It's believable. Imagine a four-year-old girl with a just-done painting. The parent says with a smile and loving eye contact, pointing to the things that he is describing. Wow, you made purple circles and green lines that go up and down. And this looks like a yellow and orange flower. This is much preferred over a hurried glance and a very good without loving eye contact. The love and attention is what is wanted. And there's usually more of that with a longer description. With a description, they know we are paying attention. From your boss, wouldn't you rather hear about five specific things she really likes about what you're doing, rather than receiving just one word? Have a wonderful day. This is Diane Tillman, the author of Nurturing with Love and Wisdom, Disciplining with Peace and Respect, A Mindful Guide to Parenting.
Lovely. Thank you, Diane. So you could see how useful those tips are. It's important for us to really speak about the good things that our children are doing, especially in this kind of environment where there's so much negativity around. I think the last thing they need is for us to harp on them and really hammer them a lot. Thank you for joining us on America Meditating Radio. It's my pure wish that you keep yourself safe and real and amplified in your way of being and if your power of presence. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. I'll play Fearless from my Inclusion Revolution Meditation CD. Hope you enjoy it and get lots of copies as we approach the holiday season. Take care, everyone. Take a deep breath and pause for a moment. In a quiet space of my mind, I gently allow my thoughts to settle, offering me some insight into what stirs deeply in my consciousness. When I'm walking and moving around and interacting with others, I'm off guard and I forget what's sitting at the base of my consciousness. External influence can trigger internal realities, but in this very special moment, I choose to allow a sacred courage to emerge as I, the soul, travel through uncharted territories of my inner being. So in this moment, I, the energy of light, the being, the soul, give myself permission to let go of any fear that might be surfacing. Because in this state of sacred trust and sacred courage, I am not alone. In this awareness, I realize I haven't lost anyone or anything. I don't need to think too far ahead or too far behind. I am present here for me. Sitting in this state, I have the ability to overcome any fear that surfaces in thoughts. And being in this present state, there's the feeling of absolute stability, expansion, silence, peace, in a state of being fearless. In this state, I seek no desire. And when I maintain my sacred courage, the past is automatically released. I'm aware. I'm a soul. A being of energy. Imperishable. Immortal, eternal, born from a pure awareness of God's light. I'm never alone. When I remember, I'm a child of the Supreme Being. I'm immortal, eternal, imperishable, and I'm fearless. Om Shanti.